John chapter 15, verse 18. The world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet have not, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me.
So, we're in John's Gospel, and for those of you that have been here all the time, you must get fed up of me saying, you know, we're in the last week of Jesus' life, this is the bit that we're concentrating on, and we're getting towards the end of this now, because he is here, he is focused in chapter 15 and chapter 16. We're looking at Jesus mapping the effects of a relationship with him will have. And it's a great relationship to have. But it could also be a confusing one. See, didn't Jesus die on a cross so that you didn't have to die? Didn't Jesus suffer because you wouldn't have, so that you wouldn't have to suffer? Isn't that what we tell people? And yet here, in this passage, he's talking about the suffering Christian. The suffering church. You're going to get what I've got. So there seems to be some kind of, you know, split in the road here. How can we not suffer because Jesus suffered for us and yet suffer because we're followers of Jesus? That's the dilemma. And when we talk to young Christians, we say, you know, or people becoming Christians, we say, come to Christ and he will make you safe and secure. And then we also say, come to Christ, follow him, and it may break your back. But don't worry, God has got your soul. And there is that dilemma here. So as when we relate to Jesus, as Jesus comes to the climax of his mission on earth, he speaks of the effects of an ongoing relationship with him, what it will have on those who follow him. And he's basically saying, I'm going to die for you, but don't think that's the end of it. I'm going to suffer for you that you might live to God, but don't think that's the end of your suffering. And in this chapter, in John 15, second half of John 15, he actually says, you know, this is going to be an ongoing thing. They came after me, they're going to come after you. But don't worry, I've overcome that. Stay with me. And that's a much different message to the one they might have hoped for. They might have hoped for a message that says, hey, you know what? Come to me and I'll keep you safe. I'll wrap you in cotton wool. I'll make sure that big, nasty world won't get at you. Everything will be fine. angels will protect you from all disasters. But he doesn't. He says life is going to be tough on you if you're a follower of mine, because life was tough on me. And that is the message that comes out of this passage today. Now, most of you who have been traveling the road for a long time understand all of this. But what he's basically saying is, if you want to relate to me, it will change you. It will change you. You will become different. You won't be able to sit there and carry on as you are. I'm going to make you better. Better than you imagined you could be. So it's not a negative change, it's a positive one. Their relationship with God, their connection with each other, and their position in the world will all be changed when they stick to Jesus. But it will also change the way the world sees them. And it's not all going to be good. Now, you need to understand a little bit about the world, and we need to talk about the world. The world can be understood in a number of ways. I mean, you've probably used it in several ways. I mean, I think of, you know, the planet on which we live. I think of the sphere one lives in. He lives in his own little world, we say. You know, we often say that about children and the elderly. They live in their own little world, yeah. Not in the real world. We talk about human society in general, or a group within it, like the academic world, or even going back in history, the medieval world. We talk about different worlds. And you might think in the Bible, they just talk about it in one way, but they don't. The Bible also uses the world in different ways. It's used in terms of the creation. It's used as the object of God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it's also used in a different way. Everything that opposes God, the world. And it's in this sense that it's used here. And we mustn't get the two confused, or the three confused. The world is against us. That does not mean creation is against us. That does not mean God hates it. God loves the world. And that is the people on it. So he uses it in different ways. And when we just try to use one concept to understand this, we get ourselves in trouble. God loves the world. So much so he gave his only son. Isn't that a measure of his grace? So we cannot hate the world when we talk of it in that sense. All the people on it. All the people on this planet. The world. But here, the world is everything that opposes God. The world is against you. The world's systems, the world's morality, all those kind of things. You know, the things that build up. This is a force for evil, independent of any individual. The world is marching on. That world is on a course of self-destruction, of isolation and fragmentation, and wants nothing to do with God. That is the world we're talking about here. A world that's turned its back on God. That is the world that hated Jesus and hates the Christian because we're fundamentally against its view and the attitudes and religions and values it produces. The world is on a course marching steadily away from God and is rejecting God's ways and God's laws, creating their own laws after their own image so that it satisfies their greed, their selfishness, their frustration. It satisfies their wants. And it's that world that is against us. Not your next door neighbor. Not your Muslim down the road. It's a world of thoughts and values that starts by rejecting God and says we want our own. And this is what Jesus is speaking about in here when he says the world will hate you. Jesus does not say that you have to hate creation or everything and everyone that is not the kingdom of God, but he's saying that world will pursue you and reject you as it pursued and rejected him. Because he chose you to come out of that world, not the universe, not the creation. He chose you out of that world and brought you into his kingdom, his world. And now you are different. Now you no longer have the same aims and objectives as the other people. You've got his aims and objectives. And you've been brought out of that. Every Christian has been brought out of that. Some of us, of course, want to go back in. And we stand on the edge between what are the world's morals and what are God's morals. And we sort of teeter. But you've been called to be in his world. He wants us clear on this, because if we're not, we may go astray and think mission is not what we've been called to. That it's someone else's job. He says it's going to be tough. And any of you who have tried to do a bit of evangelism know what I mean. You know, you go and you speak to somebody and someone badmouths you or rejects you. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, evangelism isn't my gift then. So Jesus tells his disciples, it's going to be tough for you too. Just because I've died for you doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. You're going to find the same things that I find, that when you follow God with all of your heart, the world will reject you. And the world will tell you you're going in the wrong direction. Oh, be more normal. Oh, bend the rules a little bit, because it's so much easier. You don't have to do all that honest stuff. You can twist the rules, turn up late, do this, do that. Because every time you do, it makes them feel better about themselves. But you're in a different world where these things matter. And therefore, you will not be part of them. Mission is for you. That's what it says. Your mission is his mission. Your mission is his mission. He is not saying, well, I've come to do my bit. There you go, you're all free. There you go, you can just worship God and build up churches and have a little enclave and so forth. He actually says to his disciples, my mission is your mission. Your mission is what I've been doing all along. It hasn't changed. We're still going out there to seek and to save the lost. We're still going out there to bring light. Now, this was something new for the disciples. They thought they were going towards this messianic kingdom where everybody will be included and everybody will gradually understand it. And go, oh, yeah, okay. But like anything new, it needs discussing if it is going to have people getting on board. Like a new job, a new relationship, or new members of the family, there's hopes and dreams. And the more hopes talks about, the more they stand a chance of becoming real. What will it be like? How would you like it to be when this new thing comes about? Well, there's something new coming, says Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit without me. Everything's going to be new. So let's discuss this. He's going to be an advocate. He's going to come in and he's going to be a comforter. He's going to bless you. He's going to enable you. He's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to testify that what you say is the truth. All of these things, Jesus has said, this is what's happening. This is new. This is our new mission. You're no longer going to be dependent on me speaking for you all the time and you going, there you go, Jesus, that's it. You're going to do it. Jesus tells them, your mission is my mission. Go and tell the world, that's all the people in it, the good news that God loves them. Your mission is his mission. But be prepared for the opposition. So let's have a little look at what we mean when we say Jesus calls us to mission. Mission says we're not staying where we are. We are not content with the world the way it is. We want to change things. Would you agree with that? Mission says we're going to change things. We're on a mission. Even those people that like to preserve historic buildings are on a mission. Okay? Even those that don't want the future that other people want. Right? Changing a marathon to Snickers. I didn't want that change at all. I wrote to them and told them, I won't buy one if it's called a Snickers. You've lost me as a customer. Didn't change their mind. Haven't bought one since. Can't eat chocolate now, so they've lost me. There are some people who want to stay the same, but they're still on a mission. Their mission is to look at the future and say, plan a different one to the one you're planning. Include this beautiful building in your new buildings. Don't knock it down. Include calling a marathon rather than Snickers in your plans. They're objecting to a change that's already. So even though people are on a mission to keep things the same, what they're doing is they're actually rejecting someone else's mission to change the future. We're all on a mission to change things. Whether it's keeping Sunday special or opposing Brexit. I know I mentioned that word, didn't I? It's terrible. They're saying, not that way. But Jesus says, my mission, which is to bring God's truth to the world's understanding of God, to bring hope and not just hurdles to people who want to find their spiritual home, to maximize and realize the potential of humanity created in the image of God and redeemed by Christ and anointed by the Holy Spirit. That mission, all of it, is your mission. To do the same. My mission is your mission. To see the potential of every person in the world, fully redeemed, fully clothed in righteousness, fully anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's his mission. For you, for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends, even from the people you don't like. That's his mission. And he says, you go out and do the same. It's your mission. It will turn the world upside down. So Jesus' call to mission is to those who go out and change things, to make things better, to move back the frontier that separates us from them, to expand what we have, to include what was once excluded. Our mission is the same as Jesus' mission, who came to do the will of the Father, who came to seek and to save the lost, and to call sinners. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what he said he was doing? He was anointed to preach good news to the poor, not just to those who lacked money, but to those who lacked choices and options and control, the real poor. He came to proclaim freedom for prisoners, not just those in literal prisons, but the prisons of low self-esteem and dark memories and debilitating thoughts and bad relationships. He came to give recovery of sight to the blind, and that's not those whose eyes don't work, but those who can't see the image of God in strangers, the beauty of creation, or the love that others have for them. He came to bring sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I love that. What does the year of the Lord's favor say? God is for you. You don't have to win his heart. You don't have to win the argument. He's on your side. Those of you who have had children, you know, and have grown up a bit, you've been there. You've had this discussion with your children at some point when they're screaming at you and you're trying to say, I'm for you. I'm not your enemy. They think that you are. And it's horrible. And you have a love in your heart which wants to wrap them up, but they just want to keep you not at arm's length, you know. They want to keep you in the next room. They're pushing you away so much. Is that only happening in my family or is that others? I just wondered, like. No? All right, I'll talk about my family then. So you know, they push you away. You want to wrap them up, but they won't let you touch them because they're so against you. And yet you are for them. That's like God. When you've been in that place, you understand how God feels about every person on this planet. That part of the world. Not the world's systems, not the world's morality, but about people, individuals. He loves them so much. And even when they're pushing you away, you would still sacrifice all for them because you love them. That's a God moment. Now you know how God feels when he does that. You're there to go out and change things. And you're going to change things by doing the will of the Father. Our mission is not to follow Jesus with a bit of hero worship, but to do the will of the Father. To seek and to save the lost, to call those who fall short so that they step up and live in the center of God's will and God's love, to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, to bring sight to the blind, to release oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God is for you. Haven't we got some good news? We're not going out to condemn the sinners. God is for you. We're not going out to push down those that are anti-Christian. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. This is the year of the Lord's favor. We have gospel, good news. It's a pity that we tend to judge the world by the standards of the kingdom and say it shouldn't happen. We go into the world and we bring people into the kingdom and say, look at Jesus. Look at what he's done for us. Look what he can do for you. To bring out the image of God so that when you go back in the world, you'll be different. And people will notice. And some people will reject you. And some people will accept you. But God will always accept you because you have come into the kingdom. Jesus died to set you free to enjoy the presence and love of God. Didn't he? Isn't that what he did? Doesn't look as though you're enjoying it much, though, does it? He died so that you would not feel guilt in your tragedies or blame in your disasters. And your mission is to give to others what you have received. So your mission comes from God, and it is infirmed by your new nature. You're no longer owned by the world. You have a new authority in your life. And people don't like that because you're different. And when Jesus did not conform to the image of a prophet or the image of a Messiah, they condemned him. What will they do for you? When you don't conform to the image of a Christian, pedophile, religious nut, so holy that they're no use. That's their image. And when you don't conform, and you say outrageous things like, I hate religion, because I've got a relationship with Christ, and that makes me different. And they want you to conform to their bigoted view. Your new nature will affirm that your mission comes from God. Your relationship with Jesus will affirm it. You are no longer a servant. You're a friend. He treats you like a friend. You're identifying with a radical who says, love is the answer, God loves people, and God is for us. And people don't like that because love is opposed to all that they want. It's opposed to their selfishness, their possessiveness, their greed, their condemnation, and their exclusiveness. And when Jesus told stories that showed the hypocrisy of religious people, they plotted against him. Do you think they won't do that to you? And your knowledge of truth will also bear witness to you having a mission. There's light now in a dark place. And when light comes to dark places, it's not always welcome. The evil one does not like to be seen openly. People do not like their sinful behavior and nature to be exposed. They like it to be hidden. Sometimes with justification, sometimes with reason, and sometimes just with lies. And because of that, mission always leads to opposition. Get it fixed in your head that you go from holy ground to unholy ground to bring people to holy ground. And you will reach out and not condemn. The hand will be there, despite it being pushed away. This is the good news that you're taking into the world. And for that, you're going to need help. So Jesus promises the Spirit. He's not for those who are morally or religiously successful, but for those who are on a mission. He is not for those who want extra, but for those who need help. He is not for those who want to be comfortable, but for those who desire to change the world. And if your Holy Spirit moments just keep you where you are, that's going to change. Because you're on a mission. Our witness to the world comes from the Holy Spirit and from us. He makes it very clear in this passage. I'm going to send you a witness, and you are going to witness. Same word. Two working together to push back the frontiers of the kingdom. Without the Spirit, you will have no power. You'll go out there and say all sorts of things about Jesus, and it won't make any difference. You'll strive so much, you'll forget to enjoy his presence. But the Spirit without you has no example. But together, souls are won, the lost are found, hope is raised, freedom is gained, and joy is brought to families, friends, neighbours, and communities. You have been called to mission, every Christian here. But the mission is not to destroy evil. That's God's job. The mission is to rescue the lost. And people won't like it. And when I say people, I mean the world. But what a glorious day will be had when people in heaven come to you and say, thank you for going from the kingdom of God into the world to reach out to rescue me. The Holy Spirit and you together brought me home. Isn't that a mission worthy of Christ and his church? Anything else is not quite good enough. So go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing, teaching about the kingdom of God. Isn't that worth your time? Isn't that worth facing the opposition of the world? We rescued people here. I hope you say yes.